everyone. Welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from a location outside of Atlanta, Georgia. What do you know? It's a little change of pace today, and I've got on the line with us today, opening up, Brad Jones. Brad, are you out there? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm also in a different place than you, Louis, in a location outside of the United States.
You are joining the Passion Podcast from a city outside of the United States, and I'm guessing you're there on official Passion business. Is that the deal?
Yes, sir. I wish I could tell everybody where I'm at, but it's an official visit. It's a world tour, Passion World Tour 2012 prep visit, so we cannot wait to be here back here next year, but unfortunately, I just can't tell you where I'm at.
Okay, we're opening the Passion Podcast, and you're telling me you're in a city that is not in the United States of America, that potentially Passion is going to go to in 2012, and you're not going to tell us the city you're in right now?
I've been told I can't tell the world. You know, that came from you. So, I mean, if you want to change that right now, I could tell everybody, but I feel like we probably better not.
Okay, so thanks for selling me out. That's awesome. I really love everyone on the podcast, so I appreciate that today. But, so you guys had a fantastic visit. You think God's stirring something there? You think it's going to come together?
No, it's going to be massive. I mean, the expectation for what God's doing here and how Passion can be a part of it, gathering students from all over the city. I mean, it's just going to be huge. It's going to be massive. The date's locked in. I mean, everything is in place, and so it's just a matter of time, and can't wait to see it all come together.
Okay, we're going to just try to narrow it down. I know we can't officially release the city, but can you tell us, is it a city that Passion has been to previously, or is it a new city?
It's a city we've been to before. I will tell you that.
Okay. So that narrows it down to about 19 cities, so that's good. So that's good because there's a lot of cities out there in the world. Can you tell us this? Am I going to need a translator if I give my talk in English the night of this event?
You will not need a translator.
All right. So we're getting it narrowed down a little bit more. This is awesome. So it's a city we've been to before where they speak English. So that's cool. So when will people be able to know what's going on? That's what people are already wondering right now. The people on buses on the way to class, people in their cars on the way to work, the people who are in the gym on the treadmill, and they're already wanting to know, when will I know when this is going to happen?
Well, that's a great question. January 5th, last day at the Georgia Dome, we're going to let the world know where we're heading next year.
Awesome. And speaking of the Georgia Dome, that's where we're headed right now. So that's the first order of business for us all, because that's where God's leading us today. We're headed to the Georgia Dome. Welcome back to the Passion Podcast. If you did not know, we're back in business. I know we took a little hiatus there, but we're fully back and up and running. We've got a special guest coming on in just a few minutes going to join us today, Mr. Francis Chan, the one and only Francis Chan. Brad is going to be on the podcast with us. So excited. Obviously, he's going to be joining us for Passion 2012 in the Dome. A couple things you need to know before we get to that point. Number one, you need to be there. And I'm just going to keep saying that as many times as possible. You need to be there. And whatever it is that's keeping you from being there, you need to get down on your knees and say, God, I really want to be with my generation. I really want to be in that place. And this is what's the hurdle. And if there's any way that you can work and help me, show me how to get over that hurdle, I want to be in Atlanta. The second thing you need to know today is that the price goes up on December 1st. And so you want to get in there at the lowest price. We want you to get in there at the lowest price. We don't want you to wait till after December 1st and get a higher price, even though that theoretically would be better for us. We want you in at the lowest price. So make sure you register before December 1. And speaking of before December 1st, we're going to have a live version, the first live version, Brad, of the Passion Podcast coming up on Wednesday night, November 30th, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, live video podcast. We'll be doing what we're doing right now, except instead of you listening in your car, you'll be looking on your iPhone or looking on your computer, and wherever you are in the world. This isn't a gather all your friends and gather the campus ministry. This is just you linking in 1 hour, knowing that you'll be joined in live on the podcast. I'll be there. Hope to have some special guests that drop in for us. So we'll be sharing all the latest information on the way to Passion 2012, and that's just a couple of days from now. In fact, if you were late getting to this podcast, you already missed it, but if it's before November 30th, make sure you're a part of that. It's going to be really, really incredible. And before Francis comes on and joins us, hey, Thanksgiving was awesome, and I love it. It's one of my favorite, if not my favorite holiday of the year. And you can have a favorite holiday, so it's not my favorite holiday of the year. All the Easter people will be mad. Easter's amazing. But we celebrate that every morning when we wake up, that Christ is alive, that he's risen from the dead. Christmas is incredible. But I love Thanksgiving, that moment of pause around the table with the family. And so now that Thanksgiving is behind us, Christmas is on the horizon. Starting our Advent journey at Passion City Church. If you want to join along with us, just go to PassionCityChurch.com. You can figure out how to do that. But we want to start with a little Christmas music today, Brad. And before Francis joins us, this is from a little Christmas EP from the David Crowder Band. Fantastic music, no doubt, but the album is worth it just for the cover. The Nutcracker rendition of the David Crowder Band is pretty fantastic. Thank you, Leighton Ching. So we're going to give you a little taste of that, and then we'll be back with Francis Chan. This is the first Noel, getting you ready for the Christmas season, which is close to being upon us now, from the David Crowder Band and their new EP, Oh for Joy. We'll be back with Francis in just a minute. Back, and we have a special guest on the line with us today. I don't know if special guest doesn't sound exactly right. Friend sounds better. I feel like a guest, Francis, because I haven't seen you in a while. I know we ran into each other in Sacramento a few weeks after Passion Fort Worth, and wow. I haven't seen you since then. So welcome to the Passion Podcast, and hello to everyone out there. You know, our listenership, we've done some studies since you were with us last time, has moved up into like the 700 listener range. So,
really?
Wow. Yeah, pretty incredible. So, yeah, I know everybody's excited to hear your voice. How are you, and where are you today? And give us a little 1 minute summary from the life of Francis Chan.
Gosh, my life is amazing. I don't know if I've ever been happier, first of all. I don't know if I've ever experienced God in a more real way than I have been lately. Gosh, every time I pray, I mean, like seriously pray, it's hard for me not to cry. And I don't know if I'm just getting emotional because I'm older, but I just, or all these girls in my house, but I can't believe how great my life is. Living in San Francisco, doing a lot of ministry in the inner city, still traveling all around the world, trying to make a home here, temporary home in San Francisco.
That's cool. I know that you've talked about this a lot, and I don't want to be one more person just to ask, but just catching people up who haven't really been on the Francis Chan journey this time. Last year, you were making a transition from the church you've been pastoring in Simi Valley, and then you ended up in San Francisco. Tell everybody just a little bit about that journey and how you feel like God's leading you and your family.
Yeah, Lisa and I, we just knew that it was time for a step of faith. We both sensed it from the Lord that he was just saying, okay, it's been 17 years in this city. It's time for a new adventure, and we felt like our work was done there, and that there were good leaders to take over. And so we went throughout Asia thinking that might be where God was calling us, and went to India, Thailand, China, Hong Kong, just prayed as a family in each of those places, asking the Lord if he wanted us to stay. And
But, man, when we're in Hong Kong looking at places to live, I just got a real strong sense that God had a couple of things he still wanted me to do in the States, and I was supposed to finish those before going anywhere else. And so coming back to the States, we prayed about where to go, and I really wanted to be in a place where there weren't very many believers, where the predominant thinking was really anti-Jesus. And rather than a place where there were already a lot of pastors and good churches and everything else, and San Francisco seemed to fit that description, and plus I have a stepmom up here that I haven't taken a lot of care of, and I thought, you know, this is perfect, and so that's where we are now.
That's cool. You know, people talk about San Francisco, and, you know, it gets all kinds of different, you know, reviews depending on who you're talking to and even what you're saying in the spiritual realm. And what is the climate there? You know, I think as we've traveled around the world, one thing I've learned is in Portland recently, and everybody says, you know, Oregon is the least churched, you know, state in America, and Portland is the second weirdest city in America after Austin, Texas, and just a lot of crazy liberalism and this, that, and the other. But yet I was in Portland, and I kept running into these people who love Jesus, who are building up these amazing local churches all across Portland. And yeah, it's absolutely whacked out, but there's very much a light burning there for Jesus. Yeah. And I don't know San Fran as well, but I wonder if that's the case where people say, you know, there's just nothing going on. You always hear that. I hear that. There's just nothing happening. And in the San Fran, Greater Bay Area, yeah. And is that really true, or is it that it's challenging, but there are some great things happening?
Yeah, it's challenging, but really it's been the last year or two when it just seems like the Spirit is really moving. Several churches have planted here in the last year, and they're all doing well. And it really is a first from the people that I talked to that have been here for years. It has been somewhat there. There's always been a church presence, but it's really been the last year or two that the Lord has been stirring. I've met some of the most devoted believers, and seen a lot of people come to the Lord just recently, and there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of life in the churches, and a lot of the existing churches are growing at this point also. So, I don't know. I'd always heard that people here are opposed to the gospel. They don't like it. And yet I'm not finding that. I think that people are hungry for the real thing. And we're starting to see that.
What's your involvement there like? I mean, are you guys planting a church? Or are you just leaning into some existing ministries, or are you still waiting for God to clarify some of that?
Yeah, I'm helping with some existing ministries, different pastors, helping plant churches. But one of the things I spend most of my days is we just knock on doors in some of these lower income apartments, and I have a team of people praying for us as we go out and knock on doors. We just ask them, man, is there anything we can give to you? You know, we give them food, clothes, whatever, working through the rescue mission here, and then ask if we can pray for them about anything. And when they give us their prayer request, whatever it is, we just get on our faces before God and beg God to do these things so that when we go back the next week, we can say, you know, just out of curiosity, did anything happen this week? Because I had like 20 people praying for you specifically. And and as we get the responses, some of the people are like, yeah, actually, that's really weird, you know? And they'll tell us, and we go, hey, can I start just teaching you how to read the Bible for yourself? And we just start discipling these people. And so it's things like that, and I'm just working with a kind of a small group of crazy people, pretty committed believers that just want to do anything. And week to week, we just kind of pray and say, okay, what's God leading us to do for now? And so we haven't started regular services. We're just kind of getting together occasionally and getting together as the Lord leads. Kind of patterned myself after this guy, Louis Giglio, that did something similar out there, and everyone's wondering, are you starting a church? What are you doing? Why aren't you meeting every week? You know, what's your plan?
Yeah.
And I remember he didn't really have a plan. He just prayed, and now it is what it is. And so I'm going with the Louis method.
Yeah. I think people have a tendency to want to make things more complicated than listening to God's voice and following him. And obviously there's, you know, sometimes that does end up looking like something that you can sort of draw out.
Yeah.
But it really is as simple as that. And I think that's maybe the message that you're trying to broadcast to people, is it not?
Yeah, and it's so fun. Like, you know, like yesterday we prayed, okay, well, what is something God's leading us to do? And anything on your heart, you know, as I'm talking to a couple of leaders. And then I said, you know, I've always thought of that Luke 14 passage of doing a banquet for the poor. You know, don't invite your friends; they can pay you back. Why don't we do just a killer banquet? Let's do like a, you know, let's take people to Macy's and clean them up and buy them clothes and then ask them what they're if they need anything. What would it be? And let's cook it for them, and let's just give them the most amazing dinner, live entertainment. Let's figure out how many kids they have. Let's have presents for them, their kids, just to show the grace of God, just to say, man, here's a glimpse of what God's done for us. He's been so extravagant. And yeah, these people may spit in our face afterwards, but isn't that what we do with God's grace half the time? So they're like, yeah, let's just go for it. So next week we're going to do a big banquet, and we're inviting people to that, and it's just fun. I just go, wow. You know, then a couple of weeks we'll pray again and say, God, what do you want us to do now? That was pretty cool. Let's try something else rather than just planning out the next 3 years and say, yeah, here's what we're doing every week. Let's let him lead us.
That's cool. Tell us about the trip that you guys took around the world. What was one thing that it's been several months now, and you've been back in the States for a while, but what's one day or one moment, one conversation, one encounter that just really still sort of has hold of your heart?
Gosh, I can't stop thinking about this group of college students that Rachel and I, that's my oldest daughter, those who don't know, that her and I, we went to this underground church meeting in China, and all of these college students that wanted to go to some of the most difficult places on the planet to share the gospel, and I just keep picturing their faces, the way they prayed and the intensity. I mean, these guys, there's just no doubt they will go anywhere. They would just love to die for the gospel. And yet, they were hilarious. The amount of laughter in that room and the joy in that room, I just keep thinking about it. These guys, I'm trying to think how many were in there, maybe 50 people. And when they sang, it was just intense. When they prayed, it was intense. And when they laughed, it was just a blast being with them. And I just keep thinking, man, that's the type of group I want God to create through me. I want to be one of those people and develop those types of people. But I can't get that vision out of my mind.
Yeah, it's powerful. Well, I'm excited about the Dome. We are, you know, looking forward to, we're not sure what. That's kind of the best part of it. You know, it's sort of like everything else in the journey. It's like, it is across the street. It's a bigger venue. Yes, there are going to be a lot of people there. That's incredible. We don't minimize that. You know, I'm not going around going, I don't care how many people are there. It's awesome to think that tens of thousands of college students want to come and devote time to sitting under the Word of God, to praying with their peers from around the country, and really letting iron sharpen iron, and really letting their vision be fueled for the kind of life that they want to live for Jesus. I love that. But at the same time, there's this sense that, you know, you just don't know what can happen, and it's really hard even now to think about it without just stopping and being speechless, to think about the potential, not of a meeting of a bunch of people, but of those people's lives and the trajectory of their lives over a day or a week or a month or 10 years or 30 or 40 years, if there is such a thing. And how a lot of people are listening to the podcast, a lot of students coming to Passion for the first time this year. I mean, tons of people coming for the first time this year. And I always like to ask you this, but what do they need to be ready for? They're not sure what this is. They've heard about it. Or, you know, Beth Moore has given 1,000 scholarships to young girls who've never been to Passion before. So there's going to be 1,000 college girls.
Wow.
You know, who've never been to Passion, and they're there because someone made a way for them to come. And what is Passion? What do people need to be ready for? Can you be ready for it?
Gosh, yeah, I don't know that you can't. I mean, it's almost like you hope that you can't be ready for it. Because if we're really following the Spirit, then there should be things happening that we don't expect and we didn't orchestrate. And so the more we pray, I think the less we can know what to expect. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, so many people sit in church each week and they're bored. And I kept thinking, okay, if the Holy Spirit of God is moving in a room, is it even possible to be bored? Mm. You know, like, can we be bored in the presence of God? And so the goal every time we get together then is the Holy Spirit move amongst us, because that's going to give us this excitement that can't be manufactured. I will never be bored of God. And so as long as He moves, we know it's going to be exciting. It's going to be beyond we won't want to be anywhere else. And so that's what we pray for. It's like, gosh, I've been at those places where the Spirit is moving. I just go, I don't want to be anywhere else on the planet right now. Because He's doing something. And when you experience God, it's better than anything else on earth. And so I would just say, pray for that, long for that, and I want to expect that.
Yeah, and you know, too, I think sometimes people think, well, I can see you guys doing that at Passion and, you know, some other gathering where people really are setting aside time to be about that. But, I mean, what's to say that's not the way we should gather together every time we gather, whether it's a small group in a house or whether it's coming to corporate worship, you know, on a Sunday? That should be the heart and the attitude every time, right?
Yeah. See, and that's what I want. Otherwise, don't do it. You know, I mean, it's all or nothing. Either this is real and God is with us and we're trying to follow His Spirit and we're going to have an absolute blast and we'll never be bored with that. Or I just don't want to go through the motions. I mean, none of us do. And so whether it's a small gathering, whether it's praying with your family in your house, it's got to be real. And when it's real and it's really in the presence of God and you're doing with all of your heart, you're going to love it. You're not going to be looking at your watch.
Yeah. I think that's the message, you know, that you're carrying to the world right now. It's sort of the epicenter of crazy love. And it is the epicenter of every time I hear you talk. And it's kind of that, you know, it's like a barometer really to say, hey, is what we're doing, is it real? Is God really there? Are we really listening? Are we really following? Are we really walking with Jesus? And it seems like such a simple message, but somehow we got off track and that we need to come back to the simplicity of that invitation.
Yeah. And, you know, they talk about young people walking away, you know, college students walking away from the church or walking away from God. But I think we do have a tendency to walk away from maybe something that isn't real or seems empty. And maybe some people have been involved in religion and just kind of, I tried that. And so they walk away. But gosh, once you get a taste, you know, like the Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. Once you really get that taste of Him, you don't forget that, and you crave that. I know some of you guys coming back to Passion, it's because, man, you remember a time in your life when it was real. Forget all the times when, you know, maybe it was cold, maybe it was ritualistic, but there was enough to where you knew at some point, man, that was real, and I want that back. And I'm hoping that at Passion, something like that can be ignited and you get back to it. Because I know God is real. And the way he's been answering prayer lately, it gets me so fired up, so sure of my faith, so bold to say anything to anyone because I know my God is real and I just want everyone to experience that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I love it. I love that we're on this journey together and, you know, we're praying like crazy every day, just preparing the way for what God wants to do, not taking anything for granted. I think that's really, you know, so essential when you're on a movement like Passion, to not presuppose anything, to not take anything for granted, to not say, well, we kind of know what's going to happen because we know what happened last year. I'm like you. I just want to stand in the moment and go, oh, my goodness. You know,
yeah.
And sort of like even what some of the things happened last year. You know, I remember you calling me the last gap, you know, the day or two before and saying, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to change my text to this text. And I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but my message ends the verse before your text begins, you know.
That's
and
right.
It's like, when as soon as that you said that to me, I was like, I just need to get on my knees right now because
uh-huh.
the Holy Spirit is working. And watching the way that happened through the 4 days and watching them weaving things together and putting things in motion, it was just like, this is the best thing in the world. And I know everybody feels the impact of that, but they may not be able to have the vantage point from being behind the scenes to go, you wouldn't believe how the Spirit's moving right now. We didn't do all this. You know, we didn't orchestrate how this feels right now. This is the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want more than anything. And that's what I know you want. And that's why I love being in these moments with you, is I just want to be able to stand there and go, God is here. There is no doubt about it. He is here, because I think you can put tens of thousands of people in a place and probably have a really great conference and God really not be there in the center of it all and the Spirit not be moving, but it kind of looks like he is because it's just awesome. And I love that feeling, and we've had it time and time and time and time again. I mean, I'm interviewing you right now from a mile from where we had One Day 2000, probably the holiest day I can remember of a gathering type of thing. And, you know, even from there to here, I mean, 11 years have gone by and we're still watching it move. And isn't that awesome?
I forgot all about that, the whole Passage thing from last year too. I mean, because now that you remind, I remember like sending you, here's the sermon I'm going to give, or here's the passage. And then I was almost scared to tell you I wanted to change, you know, because it was like last minute and the way the Spirit moved. I hope people are praying. I hope they don't just assume, oh, okay, well, good. Louis got his team praying and Francis is already praying about this thing. So we're set. Let's just show up.
Yeah.
Because I think, I really believe that God is going to honor the faith of each person that prays. For that experience for them, for you specifically, say, God, I don't want to hear about how Louis experienced God or Francis experienced God. I want it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are the prayers that he wants to hear from you.
That's so cool. Well, a lot of folks listening, I know, are not coming to the Dome, and they're there for one reason or another, just tracking along with the Passion Podcast, and Atlanta isn't on their radar for one reason or another, but I love that what we're talking about today isn't really about Atlanta. It's not about January 2nd through the 5th. It's about a lifestyle that really needs to be in motion the second we're all hearing this right now. This isn't something that you wait and do next week or tomorrow or some other time in life. It's all about right now. And I wonder if you just, could in two sentences just say to all the listeners, those coming to Passion, those not today, you know, here's the heart of Francis Chan, and in 100 seconds, what would you say to him today?
I would say it's like what John writes in 1 John 1. You know, he says, I write these things so that you can have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, and He just says, I write these things because I want my joy to be complete. I have this fellowship with God. Like I talk to him and he's like no one else. I mean, I just love him, love him, love him. And what I say and do is because I want other people to just taste this. And just taste this fellowship I have with God. Like it's the only thing that would make my joy complete. Like my joy is pretty complete. It's like, man, if I could get other people to enjoy God like I do, even more so, and know him even more, then that would make my joy complete. And I think that's probably the, you know, your heart, Louie, is we've experienced something with Jesus that is not a crutch. It's not something we make up. It's not something we're imagining. It is so real. And it saddens us that other people don't get this. And what would make us so thrilled is if you would just catch a glimpse of that and learn to love him like we do and enjoy him like we do.
Man, that's awesome. It's awesome. Well, Francis, I know I speak for everybody, man. We love your heart, love the voice that you bring in to God's people, and look forward to you being in the dome, Lord willing, you know, if that's the way it all works out. But we're looking forward to it in Atlanta. And thanks for taking a few minutes from San Fran today. And I just want to encourage everybody listening today to pray for San Francisco. You've heard Francis say a little bit about it. There's a move of spirit happening there. Churches are coming to life. Churches are being planted. And just be awesome as people all over the globe right now are just leaning toward that city and saying, Jesus, please come and raise up a beautiful, authentic, powerful church of faith for the fame of Jesus all throughout the Bay Area. And Francis, I know that's my heart, my prayer today, and I just love the fact that I know one of the people on the other end of those prayers is you and your family, and we love you so much and look forward to seeing you in Atlanta.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Always great to have Francis Chan with us on the Passion Podcast. Cannot wait to be in the Georgia Dome. And it's not about people, but we just sent a little video out via email to a lot of you guys that have registered already yesterday. And just watching the little clips of them, I'm excited to be at the Dome. And Francis was on it. And McCray was on it. And Matt Redmond was on it. Beth Moore was on it. Christy Knuckles, Charlie Hall, Christian Stanfill, Hillsong United, David Crowder Band, John Piper. And I'm just like, you know, you can go to a lot of different places and you can see all these folks and be under their leadership. But it is a unique thing to have this group of people together. And the fact that they've come and joined us for Passion year after year has just been really special to us. So shout out to Francis. And please do keep praying for San Francisco and the Bay Area and all the work that's happening, all the things God's doing out there. Don't forget, registration goes up. Price goes up on December 1st, so if you're listening to this right out of the gate, you still have time. If not, you still can come to Passion after December 1st. It's going to cost you a little bit more. You do not want to miss it. I got a special podcast coming for you next week, so stay tuned on the road to the Dome. It's going to be fantastic. We look forward to seeing you there. Take care.
We are the freedom generation, singing of mercy. You are the one who set us all in motion. You're